time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning, you two. And well, by the way, that Reese peanut butter cup thing?
Yeah.
Hershey's is in the same town in Hershey, Pennsylvania, uh-huh, where I used to live. Reese peanut butter cup factory was right across the street, from where we were. And I used to go across this little highway in front of our condo and get in line for the tours because they were very secretive about how they made those Reese's peanut butter cups. And every time I got kicked out of the line, I never got to go through and see how they made them. But there you go. I'm just saying. And Hershey's made a 10-pound Hershey bar, which is just ginormous.
Oh my goodness.
During those days. So yeah, it's crazy. But
Do you have the middle picture of Nancy in the black trench coat, the dark glasses, standing in line, trying to not look suspicious?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, regardless, I honestly believe, yes, that they were right in doing that. So
it's like in Willy Wonka when they came to steal the candy recipes.
Exactly.
I know how nefarious
that
you can be.
That lady is in line again.
It just got to be a joke. I was so annoyed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, our biblical worldview question of the week doesn't involve a Reese peanut cup, but it does involve this question. Where does Satan live? Kelly, I was thinking about this, and, you know, we often put ourselves in this mindset where we can fictionalize things in our head. We can easily do that. But we go to the book of Job and we see where Satan just appears after God has called the angels together. And where did you come from is the question. And just walking to and fro, up and down on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the earth, he's on the move all the time. So tell us, give us a little insight here. Help us out.
He sneaks in places. Now, he could have gotten in the Reese's Peanut Butter Company, I guarantee it. I wasn't that clever. But, you know, it's interesting. This question came from a discussion with some young people about the sovereignty of God. And there isn't one square inch that God is not aware of on earth. So from that came this question, well, then where does Satan live? Where is he? Which I thought was at first kind of funny. And then afterward, that's a great question. We should talk about this. But, you know, he first appears in heaven as one of God's highest angel called Lucifer. And really, he was one to be honored, not worshipped, but honored. And he had access to heaven and to God himself. And then, of course, later we see him in earth, but where he's ravaging this world at the present time. But that wasn't good enough for Satan to be in heaven with the angels worshiping God. He got tired of it. And it says in scripture, in his heart. And this is the beginning of where we really have to check ourselves. What's going on in our heart? Not so much our actions. Those will come later, but in our heart. And he, in his heart, grew tired of worshiping God, wanted to rebel from his authority. And he just wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to be God. And not only by the angels, but by God himself. He wanted God to worship him. We see that when Satan tempted God, when Jesus was on earth here, but it was because of his pride. And this is so important that Satan was cast from heaven. And by the way, along with a third of the angel, which we call demons, were thrown to earth. And quite frankly, they're here on earth and they're doing incredible damage. We see all this in Isaiah 4, where scripture says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, the son of the dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God, and I will set my throne on high, and I will sit on the mountain of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. So there it is, talking about Satan's desire to be worshipped as God, to be God. And then the end, boom, you will be thrown forever in a lake of fire. So there you have it, his beginning and his end.
Well, and we know, too, about, you know, his temptation in the garden when he spoke to Eve and then to Adam. What was that first lie that he told, Nancy? I'm refresh our memories and really point that thing out, because I'm reading here and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that is exactly what it was. And it gets by us sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And all of us doubt. You talk about all those questions coming in, especially tomorrow, and it's just a great day. But those questions, sometimes they spawn from just really wanting to know more, and many of them come from doubt. I doubt this, I doubt this. And that doubt came directly from Satan in Genesis 3, 4, and 5. It's ironic, this whole little piece here where it says, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So essentially what he's questioning here is God's sovereignty, the idea that you shall not eat from the tree of the good and evil. And Satan essentially is saying, oh, God's just jealous. He wants to be God, not you. But if you eat of it, which they did, then you can be God yourself. You can be God like me. Keep in mind, humanism, the oldest religion in the world, from thousands of years back, that Hinduism is the promise that you can become a God. And it's just amazing how we see Satan's tentacles spreading into the church, into the minds and souls, yes, of adults, but of young people too. It is rampant, and we just have to do something about this.
Well, Nancy, you know, I just referred to the beginning of the book of Job. So where is he now?
Well, he roams the earth, you know, as you mentioned earlier in Job. But he is tempting people into sin and thus separating themselves from God. His whole idea is to get our eyes and minds off Christ, off God, and into ourselves. Yes, he wants to be worshipped, but first we have to take our eyes off Christ, which is a huge indicator for us of how do we keep from Satan. We keep our eyes on Jesus. And, you know, there's songs written about, well, I'm playing one in my mind right now as I'm talking about this, but, you know, Satan is a master deceiver and liar. He's smarter than we are. He knows us backwards and forwards. And, you know, oftentimes, I'm sorry, but he's winning these battles of people's hearts and minds in all areas of life. Look at this. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Who is that someone? We have to ask this today. And the thing is, that someone is you and me. When our eyes get off Christ, John 14:30, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. And the Apostle Paul referred to him as the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now in work in those who are, check this out, disobedient.
Well, we'll stick with us. We're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away, Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel, discussing the enemy of our souls this morning. And we're going to take just a short break and come right back to the conversation, because you want to stay here. Next up, if you reject God's invitation to become his child, well, then who are you? Nancy's going to address that in just about.
Well, it is 7:19 right now, and we are in the middle of our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. And we are unpacking, where is Satan right now? Where does he live? What is his motivations? You know, Nancy, as we had left that last question, you know, you were talking about the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Yeah. Well, disobedience means that I've rejected God's invitation. So what happens if I reject God's invitation to become his child? Well, who does that leave me as?
Yes, and this is a question that the scriptures are very clear on, and it's a hard one. So many people, you know, you talk to them about their faith. Well, I can't really decide. I'm kind of on the fence. Well, I have bad news for those people because there's no such fence. There's none when it comes to whom we choose to worship. And if a person, I'm just going to support this by scripture, and this sounds preachy and it sounds harsh, but if a person is not a child of God, they are by default a child of Satan. And I'm saying this to you now, and it's going, ooh, that's so harsh. This does not mean that God has stopped loving us. You know, those who have not received him, he loves you. He's jealous for you. He doesn't want anything or anybody, including Satan or his demons, to come between you and him. You know, he gave his life to have a relationship with all of us. It's not a matter of him not loving us, but if you do not worship him, then you are a child of Satan, and there are two choices here. James 4 explains that anyone who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Matthew 12 says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters with me. And I just think we need to take a serious look at this. Those who are sitting on the fence, look around, there's no fence. All humans, all of us, since the beginning of time, have been tempted to sin, to take our eyes off Jesus, to go against what he has commanded us to do. And that began with Adam and Eve. And trust me, we have continued to do that ourselves, every one of us. And it's interesting when we look at the word of Satan, it means adversary, and we see in the scriptures that he comes disguised as an angel of light, a hero to many of us, a leader. And this is the thing, and it includes counterfeit Christians, ministers, counterfeit leaders, counterfeit teachers, lecturers, authors, and others who deliver a false gospel and deny that Jesus is the Son of God, which is the key. Jesus is God. No other religion believes that but us. And a warning for those who are attracted and addicted to satanic movies and games and clubs, like so many young people are today, they are opening themselves up to satanic oppression or possession, depending on the situation. But the point is for all of us, if the door is open, even cracked open, he will barge in. And I'm telling you, he does it to me when my eyes get off on myself or something else. Boom, that doubt and those thoughts come into mind. Those are not thoughts of God. And I think we need to be very much aware that Satan is alive, he's well. And also, statistically, over half of all Christians don't believe he exists, which is an issue, because if he doesn't exist, then how do we protect ourselves from him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, how do we protect ourselves from his schemes, Nancy?
Well, I guarantee it's not by human our human cleverness or our strength or our own might. No human is strong enough to win a battle against Satan and his demons, of course. Wisdom, strength, power must come from God himself to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's Ephesians 6. Go to Ephesians 6. It's very clear what that armor looks like. And when we walk with God, Satan cannot take us from our Father's hands or from God's love from us. And we need to understand this. It's a relationship with God. And when we have it, Satan cannot hurt us. Oh, he can try, for sure. We look at John 10:29. My Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Romans 8, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And James 7 says it very clearly here. Look, resist. He didn't say look. I said that. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. You know, boom, boom. Because the Christ in us is stronger than Satan ever has thought of being. With Christ, we can resist him. And we do this, listen, by avoiding those things that will drag us down spiritually, including friends that are hostile toward God, disobedient, and persistent distancing ourselves from God provides the enemy grounds to attack and cause us to stumble. Do not give the devil a foothold. And this is Ephesians 4:27. And, you know, especially with young people and adults, too, you wonder why you're struggling. Well, look at the people you're hanging out with, you know, and there comes a time, it happened in my own life, where I had to say I can no longer as a Christian be around these people. They're horrible influences on me. And they're causing me to think things I shouldn't be thinking and stumbling. So I'm just going to choose to separate myself. And it wasn't easy. But when I did that, I began to have peace and be able to get a grip on what God wanted me to do. You know, he says, choose this day whom you will serve. And for those who are lukewarm Christians, you know, it's simple. God is there. His hands are outstretched. His finger isn't pointed at you. It's like the prodigal father, you know. Go to him and ask forgiveness and he will forgive you. And it, for those who haven't committed there, who are sitting on the pretend fence, please jump off, you know, figuratively in the arms of Christ. He's there wanting you. He's not going to shame you. He wants you. And I think 1 John 5:12, you know, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. If you don't know you have eternal life, please go to the Father, confess unbelief, confess whatever it is, and go to him, trust in him. You might not feel it, but when you walk with him, you may know that you have eternal life, and Satan will be held at bay. Again, as Stephen Kelly, I love the way you talk about getting in the scripture. And without the scripture, without the Spirit of God active in us, we cannot fight this battle against Satan. That's just that easy. No matter how smart and clever we think we are, we can't. We'll lose every time.
Yes. I mean, we ultimately have to turn to scripture and we have to lean into God. You know, so often we hear this, you know, stand firm and fight against the devil. Well, no. Return to the Father, to his word. And he will battle because he's the only one who can overcome him, period. We cannot do that of our own. And I want to encourage each one of you to go to anchorsaway.org. This is so important, the undergirding of our Christian worldview. If we do not understand what it is that we believe, if we do not understand how to apply it in this world, and if we don't understand how important it is to live that out, then we have given ourselves over to the world. And the enemy will try and just continually batter you. But if you are rooted firmly in your faith, and this is the place to find that, to get anchored in a strong Christian worldview, at anchorsaway.org. You can also go to killingsteve.org under the resources tab and find the information there. Nancy, thank you. We have bumped up against our time, but this is a very, very important message for us to relinquish ourselves, our own person of who we are, and submit to who God is. And then we have a chance at fighting against the enemy. Thank you for this important question. God bless you, man.
Thank you.